Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. Day five of our discussions on parenting. And today we've talked about things that parents can do. Today we're going to kind of talk about things that parents shouldn't do.
Right.
Six pieces of bad advice we give kids.
But even if you're not a parent and you happen to be listening, all five of these...
Six.
All six of these... I don't have my glasses on. All six of these can be... Do I have all six?
No.
I don't. I just had five. I wonder why that happened. Don't answer that. All six of these pieces of bad advice can be practiced by adults as well.
Right.
Okay. Everything in here is applicable to children or adults.
Right.
But our focus this week is on children and on parenting.
Right.
So bear with us.
Right. So this is written by Emma Cipele, is I think how we pronounce that. Because there's two umlauts above the
eight. That the umlaut makes it a long vowel.
Right.
Correct?
Cipele.
So that would be Cipele. Without the umlauts, it would be Cipele, I would guess.
Right, right.
But so, with the umlauts, we think that it makes the vowels long.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So six pieces of advice.
But please excuse us, Emma, if we did it incorrectly.
Right. So this is six pieces of bad advice we give kids. And it's from Psychology Today.
Right.
So the first thing is we tell kids, I like the way that she organized this, because she gives the thing that we do that's bad advice, but then she tells what we should do instead.
That's right. She gives, this is what we do.
Right.
This is what we should do.
Right. So we tell our kids, focus on the future, keep your eyes on the prize.
Right.
And she says, instead, we should be encouraging them to live or work in the moment.
Right. And I love this. I love the data she throws in there, you know, that most of us don't have a very good attention span.
Right.
And, okay. Yeah. So, how did she... She said 50% of...
50% of the time we're awake,
our mind
we tend to wander.
That's right. Your mind's wandering around all that. We tell this to our students. They come into class, they pay attention for the first 5 to 8 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, and then your mind starts to wander. It's a perfectly normal thing to have happen.
Right.
And she's saying when it wanders into the future,
right,
or it wanders into the past where you start worrying about things. She said, let's focus on the present. Teach kids to, we tell them to focus on the future. No, all wrong. Let's focus on the present. Let's get this right.
I interestingly had a situation where I was talking to a patient about this. And I was talking about, you know, you need to focus on right now.
Right.
And not worry about so much about the future. And they said, well, that's not going to work, because if I have a test next week, then I'm not going to, if I don't keep that in mind, if I'm not thinking about the future in that sense, then, you know, I'm going to fail the test because I'm not going to prepare. Man, we're looking at it wrong.
Right.
Focusing on right now means I'm doing right now what I need and have to do right now. If you have a test tomorrow and you need to study right now,
right,
have your mind in the present studying for your test.
That's right.
You're not necessarily thinking about what's going to happen if you fail the test, not necessarily thinking about what's going to happen if you pass the test.
Right.
That's thinking about the future.
Right.
What you're thinking about is taking the test and what material you need to do to study and know to pass the test.
That's
so
right.
If
you want to think about the test, go ahead and think about it. Do something about it. Focus on it right now, and then let it go on to something else.
Exactly.
Okay, but don't start moving and don't start wandering. And I like the word wander. Don't start wandering into the future or wander back into the past. Stay where you are.
Exactly. Exactly. The second thing, what we tell our kids is stress is inevitable.
Right.
Keep pushing yourself.
Right.
And instead, we should be telling them, learn to chill out.
Right. That's right. Right.
That's a great great advice, because we don't. I was going to say we do not, but then I was going to use
that's a new word.
I was going to put an umlau, but we don't do a very good job of teaching our kids to relax.
Right.
We keep pressure
push them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so we need to teach them to chill out. We need
and it's okay to push them. I mean, yeah. It's okay to encourage and to push and to have high expectations. But they also need to learn to stop and say, okay, enough. You're allowed to relax. It's okay to relax.
Just chill out.
Right. Because kids hear us saying, you got to go, you got to push, you got to push. Mm-hmm. They don't hear us say often enough, it's okay.
Just relax.
Just relax. Yeah. It's going to be okay.
Yeah. Number three. We tell our kids, we emphasize with our kids that they need to stay busy.
Mm-hmm.
And instead we should be telling them, have fun doing nothing.
You know, one of the things we hear adults say is that when I was a kid, we spent long hours doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of wandering around the neighborhood or sitting at a creek or, you know, playing around with our friends. And now kids seem to be so scheduled. You know, everything seems to be scheduled. We have to give them time to do nothing.
Well, the you have two sides. You have kids who are always busy because their schedule is so full, or you have kids who are always busy because they're constantly plugged in and have to be engaged in some kind of electronic device to stay stimulated. And so we need to teach them sometimes to do nothing.
I was reading an article the other day about the benefits of boredom.
Yeah, I saw that article.
It doesn't hurt to be bored.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when kids come, it always bothers me when kids. Well, I'm bored.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be bored.
That's all
right. You parents, if you hear your kids say they're being bored, that's not a problem that you have to address. It's okay to be bored.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now the next one is a theme that we've heard before, and in fact, we may have heard it on the last podcast.
Right,
and it's. We often tell our kids to play to their strengths, to really emphasize their strengths and go with that.
Right.
But instead, we should be teaching them to make mistakes and allow themselves to fail sometimes.
That's right. Childhood...
Which means not playing to your strengths, which means pushing yourself and trying things that are new.
Exactly. Childhood and adolescence is a time for children and teenagers to try a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just do the things you do well. Go out and do the other things that you don't do well. We have young patients, usually teenagers, who have decided that they're not athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sit and do video games, and they get soft and pudgy and out of shape. And they actually have, at 18 or 17 or 16 years old, have the body of an older adult because they have...
Right.
And they have to go out and become more athletic.
Right.
You have to go out and start exercising.
Yeah.
You have to go out and do those things that you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to stretch yourself. You got to push those limits out.
Right.
So. Next is we often tell our kids to know their weaknesses and don't be soft. Interestingly, right after you made that comment.
Mm-hmm.
But what we should be telling them instead is just to treat themselves well.
That's right. What's the thing that the bad advice?
Know your weaknesses and don't be soft.
Right. Which means what?
Which means instead of being so self-critical, you need to treat yourself well. You need to be nice to yourself. You need to acknowledge perhaps your strengths and weaknesses. But then, you know, going back to the previous one, do something about it. Improve yourself.
That's right. When you say know your weaknesses, why?
Right.
You know, because we want you to try a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
If I say to you, well, you're not good at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not good at music, so let's not do that. No, no. Or you're not good at it. Well, you're just not that athletic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my middle child was absolutely not athletic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was not an athletic bone in her body. But over time, she became very accomplished at some athletic events.
Right.
You know, had we not pushed her, she would never have done it. She would have missed that whole part of her life.
Right.
Okay. That's doing a disservice. So don't fall into that thing about weakness.
You know,
well, I'm not good at that, so I don't do it. No, no.
Yeah. And the last one is what we tell our kids is that it's a dog-eat-dog world.
Yeah.
So look out for number one.
That's the one that I missed.
Yeah. Instead, we should be teaching them to show compassion to others.
Right.
That, you know what, we progress more when we work together.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't teach them enough. There is a ton of research out there that talks about the benefits of things like cooperative learning groups and peer modeling for, you know, in learning and for just progress in right. general. Mm-hmm. And so we know that from a research basis, but yet we teach our kids or tell our kids that, right. you know what, you need to look out for number one, just get yourself wherever it is that you're trying to get to and don't right. worry about anybody else. And it's right. probably not the best advice.
I hate when parents give their children this advice. It's not a dog-eat-dog world.
Right.
You're going to run it. We all run into people who put themselves first mm-hmm. and who mm-hmm. do it at our expense.
Right.
But the majority of people right. don't do that.
Right.
So fact of the matter is, it's not a dog-eat-dog world.
Right.
And you're not number one.
Right.
You're one of many. Mm-hmm. Okay. And most of the people that you encounter in your life will want to get along with you.
Right.
They want to do things with you. Mm-hmm. So you needn't struggle to overcome and to win everything
right.
and to be the... If you're on a sports team, mm-hmm. you know, we talked about that earlier, you're a part of a team.
Right.
You know, you're not expected to be number one.
Right.
You're expected to be part of a team.
Right. Yeah. yeah. And it's so difficult when you have somebody, you know, thinking about sports.
Mm-hmm.
My team that I have now, we have players who really struggle with this because they, you know, they just don't pass. You know, they want the ball.
He's talking about
soccer.
He's talking about that other football.
They won't pass. They hold on to the ball because they, it has to be them.
Right.
They have to be the one to score. They have to be the one to beat the other mm-hmm. players and everything. But as it, you have 10 other people.
You have 10 other people
on
waiting.
The pitch, you know, right. so use those opportunities to right. to strategize and to try different things. So.
Right. We see it especially in sports like soccer mm-hmm. and basketball.
Right.
You know, where, I mean, if you want to be that, go, play golf.
Mm-hmm.
Play tennis.
Right.
Not doubles. Play singles.
Right.
If you want to do it yourself,
right.
there are sports to do that. But we advocate that you do team sports because
right.
you want to become a member of a team.
Right.
You want to learn how to do that as well.
Absolutely.
And this is what we meant by, I think all six of these are applicable to adults as well as
right.
children. So
yeah.
I think anybody can follow this advice. It's good advice.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, all right. Well, that's it.
It is.
It's all six, even though you had five.
Oh, I was. It's all five podcasts.
Five plus one. So, until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.